I don't know whether you heard that whisper behind me. God bless you, brother. Some brethren have special ministries of encouragement. I've only one complaint tonight, and that is that I've been fighting off a cough and a cold and I don't know what, so I couldn't sing as I'd love to have sung. But I hope you've been doing it for me. And I apologize beforehand if I have to sort of cough and blow some way through the ministry. I hope you'll forgive me. I want to talk to you tonight for a little while, basing what the Lord has laid on my heart on the book of Hebrews in several of its verses. I want to read brief portions from chapters 1 and 2. I am using, look at the color of my hair, I am using the authorized version. Oh, I love it. You can't make me think any other way, so please forgive me. I hope to alter only one word in the reading, coming into the power and meaning of the Greek. That will be in the second chapter. In the first chapter, then at verse 1, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and distributions of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. Amen. I altered one word, perhaps it is given that way in the version you may have been reading. I altered gifts to distributions, because that is what God is saying. And tonight I want for a little to dwell on the greatness of this great, wonderful salvation. It's tragic that in an age like this in which we are living, and in such a day, God's salvation has been so tremendously neglected that most who know something about it know very little. And those of us perhaps who think we know quite a lot have so much more to learn. What a wonderful salvation. It is neglect of it, beloved, that has brought us to the state as a church, worldwide I'm speaking now, the state in which we find ourselves today. Oh, I remember, through the paucity of the ministry that I received, so wonderfully grounded in the exposition of the cross and in the glory of the blood of redemption and in the preciousness of the resurrection and in all the glorious types, shadows, figures that we can find in the scriptures concerning the wonder and person, the first coming, the second coming of the Lord, and all the rest of it, that yet because of the paucity of it all, I remained so long without the greatness of God's salvation, such as which one day, by his grace, he granted me to enter into. Hallelujah. It isn't that this salvation isn't preached, but sometimes it's preached like this. I don't know whether you've heard this kind of ministry. It talks about salvation and then full salvation, as though God's got two kinds. You can have salvation, and then you can have full salvation. As I read my Bible, I find there is only one, and it's the full salvation. The full salvation. Granted, we may come into it by degrees, but oh, beloved, it is the purpose of God that each one of us should enter into that fullness of experience in the Holy Ghost, for which Jesus Christ, our God of heaven, was a man and died and shed his blood and rose again and ascended there as he is tonight in the highest place that heaven affords. Praise him. And then poured forth the blessed Holy Spirit. It was God's great purpose to move through this present age, distributing the Holy Spirit. This is God's great way for us. It's God's purpose tonight that the Holy Ghost should be distributed. Of course, he's given. But distributed, this is the thing we see in the scripture. We open our Bibles to the beginning of the Acts. And we find there that on the great day of Pentecost, there came that deluge from heaven. I don't know whether to call it a deluge or whether to call it a holocaust. That fire came down from heaven. God was distributing the Holy Ghost. He made his first great move in this new dispensation of his grace. That now Jesus Christ, having removed every reason why God could not give his Holy Ghost as the permanent resident, owner, occupier, empowerer of man, every reason had been removed, and God in justice and purity could bestow the Holy Ghost in all glorious fullness upon men. Praise the name of the Lord. But I don't know what these great men felt, women too, by the way, on that first Pentecostal occasion. I don't know whether, because Peter was very parochial in his thinking, you remember when at last he went to the household of Cornelius, he was absolutely astounded at what God did there among the Gentiles. I don't know then, as I think back to the day of Pentecost, whether they felt that this was the beginning and the ending. If they thought it was the ending, What a glorious surprise awaited them. For God, who began his great work on that day, was really saying to them, this is what I want to do. This is that to which I've been moving. What I start today, albeit he inaugurated a dispensation, albeit it was a signal occasion, but it was the opening up of a great era in time when God wanted to distribute the Spirit of God. This is what he wants to do. You see, we read in our scripture, and we could have thought so many things concerning this thing, that this was the way that God bore witness to the testimony of the gospel. He bore witness to these men with signs and wonders and divers miracles and distributions of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. Glory to God. It's God's will to do it. It's God's will to do it. The fixed will of God, moving unto it through the blood of his own Son, glorying in it that the King had risen and was sitting upon the throne. That's the wonder of this revelation. And God's will tonight, here in this auditorium, is to distribute the Holy Spirit to us here. Isn't that wonderful? Praise the name of the Lord. This is the confirmation to the preaching of the gospel. This is that work of God and not of men. This is this visitation from on high. It's God's way. You can read it in the New Testament, chapter 2 of Acts. Pentecost, moving through to 3,120, were filled with the Holy Ghost in one day. Praise God. Spreading out through Judea, chapter 4. They go back to their own company. They're praying a wonderful prayer, and down comes the Holy Spirit. God shakes the place. He approves of their attitude. Hallelujah. This is God's way. And you move on again, and you come through to the 8th chapter, and there, when it was heard in Jerusalem that these had received the word of God, Peter, God's key man in this great move of the Spirit, was sent down with John, hallelujah, with the glorious consent of the whole body of those chosen ones. And again the Holy Ghost comes down. He distributes the Holy Spirit there. On we move again. Oh, and here we come to chapter 10, and you know what happened there, where poor old Peter, who'd been saying, not so, Lord, not so, Lord, hallelujah, in his blindness and in his parochial vision, God's great heart opened heaven and sent down the blessed Holy Spirit, and they all stood there with their mouths open, watching what God was doing. Amen. Now, this is God's way. This is the way he wants to move. This is what he's designed to do. He's designed to do it in this place tonight. It's the will of God that the Holy Spirit should be distributed here. That's the whole purpose of it. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Supposing I said to you now, stand up, every one of you who knows you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, who knows that the glorious Spirit of God is in you, on you, round you, over you, unto you, that the Holy Ghost is here in all his original power and unique glory. Come in Jesus' name to glorify God in you. If I said stand up, would you do that? Could every one of you do it? Beloved, it's God's will. It's God's extreme measure to give you the Holy Spirit. You think, in order to do this, he engineered Calvary. In order to do this, the great miracle of all time, and all eternity was enacted there on that lonely hill, so that God could be justified in all that he did, sweeping away everything whereon the devil may come in some accusation and say that God acted unfairly or not in justice or something like that. Jesus went there, it was all nailed down there, the liar was exposed and beaten, that wretched devil. And Jesus rose again from the dead, praise God, and there became the great channel, the mediator of the blessed Spirit of God. Oh, and such an avalanche of fullness, and God moved into a great new era in his dealings with men. Why, man and woman, each one of us ought to be so full of the Holy Spirit that only the life of Jesus and the glory of God should be exuding from us. In every step, in every look, in every word, in every action. This is God's way. God's salvation is great. So great. It's got to be beyond explanation. It's got to be beyond containing. It must be talked about only in height and length and depth and breadth. Direction, not dimension. For he doesn't say how high or how deep or how long or how broad. There aren't any horizons, only distances. God's tremendous fullness. This is what he has for you and me, that we should know that we're swallowed up in God. That's the wonder of it. Why, when God began it, listen to the pure maid, shall we? Mary. He that is mighty hath done to me great things. Hallelujah. And when that man came into the temple, that old prophet of God, he saw Jesus in her arms and he said, oh God, you showed me your salvation. And he took him. That's the greatness of this salvation. That's right. Have you read that? He didn't see him afar off in Mary's bosom. He said, I want him here. And he came and took the salvation of God, clasped him to his bosom. She said, he's done to me great things. Hallelujah. So that everybody's talking about it to this day. At least anybody that's got any sense. Praise God. Or just take a poor man. He's out there howling in the dark. He's across the sea from Jesus. His only hope. And Jesus pushes out the boat, if you like. Gets his men into it and then goes to sleep. And a terrific storm comes up on the sea. And the waves beat high. And the lightning flashes and the thunder rolls. And the ship's all over the place. And Jesus sleeps away through it all. And 12 terrified men are clinging to the rigging and holding to the boat and howling out in their misery for mercy and respite from it all. But Jesus can hear a man out there whose cries are greater than the rolling of the thunder. He's a big, strong man. He's chained with chains. He's living with the dead. His soul is full of misery. His body is full of devils. And so Jesus sleeps to everything else. None so blind as my servant, says the scripture. None so deaf as my servant. And so he goes to sleep to make sure he's deaf to it all. And away he goes over there to that man. And you know the story. I don't need to remind you, this man, Legion, he said, Legion is my name. And Jesus said, get out of him. Well, I put it colloquially. My apologies to you, I was born in Bethnal Green. And he wanted to follow Jesus. Jesus said, you just go home and say how great things the Lord hath done for thee. Hallelujah. There's the greatness of God's salvation to cast every devil out of you, man. Take every impossibility out of you, woman. God will do great things to you. There's no biological impossibility here. Nothing. Nothing physical that can hold God back. Nothing demonic. The devil's defeated, and he's a liar. Amen. These things, we're told in the Hebrews letter, they were confirmed unto men, such men as wrote this Hebrews letter. They confirmed unto these people the things that Jesus said and did. Oh God, for a generation of men and women who'll confirm it here in the 20th century. This is what God intends. This great distributing of the Holy Spirit. These royal works from heaven. This truest of all gospels. This giving of God unto the needs of men. No wonder the writer to the Hebrews went on to say, he's able to save us to the uttermost. Glory to God. Not just what I'm saved from, what I'm saved to. This being rid of all my impossibilities, this humanity of mine being subdued and quelled under the power of God. All demons gone from me. The Holy Ghost filling me. Hallelujah! What do you want more than that? But have you got it? When did it happen to you? God wants to distribute the Holy Spirit here in Exeter. He wants to distribute the Holy Spirit to you. You know what distribution is, don't you? If I gave you a bundle of tracts about as big as that, I don't know which one I'd give you. There are so many good ones. And I said to you, go down the street in Exeter tomorrow and distribute these tracts. That is, if I had any power to say such things to you, which of course I haven't. But you can get encouragement from the dear brother behind me. Hallelujah. Praise God. You wouldn't go and get the whole bundle and give it to the first person you say, sir, there you are. That's not distribution. God didn't give a great big bundle on the day of Pentecost and say, well, there it is. It's distribution. You'd say, well, please, sir, you know, the way to give tracts away is to smile at them. Would you like that tread? Don't say, brother, are you saved? That hardly goes down. Distribution. Hallelujah. Distribution. Holy Ghost. He's come to be distributed. He loves it. God wants to give you your great share. Partakers of the Holy Ghost. What a wonderful thing. And God wants to do that tonight. It's time I stopped. Let's pray, shall we? Let's pray. You know that you haven't received the Holy Spirit. Here is God's invitation to you tonight. This salvation of God is so great, he just can't stop at forgiving you your sins. He just can't stop with cleansing you in his blood. These are preparatory things. They are to get you to fitness to be the embodiment of God, the Holy Ghost. These are to bring you into a state where your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you know that you haven't received the Holy Ghost in all his fullness, if you're not filled with the blessed Spirit, baptized with the Spirit, call it what you will. Here is what God has for you. If you know that tonight you want to do business with God, here's an invitation. You rise in your seat where you are. You stand there before God. Register it before God. Lord, I want you to baptize me in the Spirit. God is wanting to distribute the Spirit of God. God is moving. It's your opportunity. God bless you, my dear. And you. Hallelujah. Come on, beloved. Come on. You're loved beyond your knowledge, privileged beyond all human ken. You too. Hallelujah. Glory. Believe him where you stand. We have to close down because of time. You can come and see Brother Arthur or myself or one of the other brethren afterwards. But we're going to pray now. Lift your hearts to God. Open yourself right up to him. Let us pray now. Come on. Those of you that know the Lord. Glory. Lord, you know this man. And this young woman here and this lady here, Lord, who just lifted their hearts to thee. Now, Lord, oh God, receive the Spirit in all his fullness. Open yourselves up, beloved. Yield yourself to the Lord. Your body is going to be the temple of the Holy Ghost. Don't stiffen it. Look to the Lord and receive without a doubt. Praise him for his goodness and his mercy to us this night. Hallelujah. Lord, thou art the great baptizer in the Holy Ghost. Amen. And we bring these three precious ones to thee tonight, Lord, knowing that thou would keep thy word and confirm this thy gospel in all its fullness. Be filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah. Receive him now and praise him.